Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast, episode 173. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood, joined alongside my co-host, Blake Friars. Blake, this was a quick week. It seemed like it flew by. Seemed like we just did this, didn't it? Just a couple of days ago?
It even went by more fast when I was on the road down in the Kootenays all week.
Yeah, you sound like you're in a tunnel right now. I don't know.
You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but it's just, okay. We'll get it figured out here. All right. But yeah, it was a quick week. I did watch episode one of Love is Blind just because you requested it.
You watched what?
One episode of Love is Blind.
Yeah. Thoughts?
I'm going to sound really shallow on this one.
Why?
Because they're just not as good looking this year. Am I wrong?
Yeah, there's a couple good looking ones, but the,
And I'm really confused. There's like freaking 60 of them, it seems like.
No, there's only 20.
Do they like whittle down or something here? Like it just seems.
I don't know.
Like it seems like there's a lot of them this time, and it seemed like last year there was like 8 or 6. Seems like a shit ton of them. They need to get rid of some.
It's the same. Not everyone gets engaged though.
I hope not, because that is like the dumbest way to get engaged in the whole history of the world, is not?
Yeah, kinda.
I can't even believe I watched this show, but that's what COVID did. It made me watch stupid shit.
Comfort zone and watch stupid shit.
Because we had so much time.
Yeah.
Saturday night, Calgary, Colorado. Did you watch this game?
No, I had a game. I didn't get to catch that one.
Full playoff mode. Super fast. Back
Who won
and
the
forth.
Game? I don't even know.
Calgary won in overtime. 4-3.
Johnny Contract here scored the winner.
Yeah, but because Elias Lindholm went and freaking made a great play, stole the puck.
I saw the Colorado's tying goal.
McKinnon?
That was, Gaudreau went down on a breakaway and Makar took it back. They went down on 3-on-1 or whatnot.
Calgary didn't even play Markstrom. They played Vladar.
Yeah.
And Kemper got chased. Which might have been premature though. But
they were down 3-2.
I know. I didn't get it either. But
I don't know about that one.
Nathan McKinnon, by far the best player in the National Hockey League. By far. He is the most dynamic player that I've watched this year. He can do everything. He is freaking intense. He's physical. He's do everything.
In terms of difference makers, though, I think there's an argument for Makar.
Oh, probably. Makar's probably number two. McDavid's probably not even in the top three.
Yeah, like if I five would probably be McKinnon, Makar, Matthews, McDavid. This isn't in order. That's four, and then maybe Dreisaitl? Like Barkov or Dreisaitl.
Yeah, one of those two. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just think
that would be my five. I mean, you of course should have Patrick Laine in your top five though.
For sure. I love his skating. I don't know. I watch Nathan McKinnon, and every time I watch him, I'm like, shit. I don't want to play them in a series because that guy is just freaking.
Well, you already been there, done that shit, eh?
Yeah, we're doing it with a different
team. You got a bit better goalie than Mikey Smith.
Though. Yeah, and a bit better team defensively, and we got a little better team. But UND, University of North Dakota, got to throw out the hometown here. They third straight Penrose Cup NCHC champions again for the third straight year. So NCAA playoff hockey starting next week. So that'll be interesting and fun to watch. I wish it was. Yeah. More than one game and you're out when you get into the final 16, but I guess that's how it works. But big news out of Vancouver. I'm sure they're feeling really, really good or maybe really, really bad as Ulevi was put on waivers by Florida. and claimed by Detroit, and he was a higher draft pick than Matthew Tkachuk. How does that make you feel today, Blake?
We're not going to talk about that.
I know. I'm just trying to get your blood pressure up. I got to do something, right? I got to do something.
Well, I'll just say that Jim Benning won that trade. Now that we can say that, right?
What trade?
Julio Lamico. Been playing pretty well for the Canucks. Fourth line center.
Yeah.
Part of one of the best fourth lines in the NHL.
Oh, God.
Tyler Mott, Lamico, and Highmore. Really good fourth line.
Let me just preface.
Not by the best, but they're up there.
When they make the playoffs, then you can start categorizing them with other teams. Because right now, you can't categorize them at all. Because then I'll have to write through all that your third pair defense might be the worst in the league.
It's like we're talking about, like, I feel like we do like a Canucks update every week.
I know. Because I like raising your blood pressure. It's good for your health.
Yeah, but, I mean, did you see the stat on JT Miller?
Yeah, he's probably
the only player in the league this year to have three separate eight-game point streaks. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. He's been good.
He's only, like, the 10th player ever to do it in the history of the league.
And your team's talking about trading him.
I don't know. They always do this. Like, right, it's either, like, right before the deadline, they'll go on a little heater. And then after the line passes, they'll lose. Or if they're losing and they're like already out of the playoffs, they'll win a bunch of games and screw their draft.
Well, so I don't know. I don't know why you like this team. I don't. Three questions you're going to love tonight. You're going to love.
All Canucks three questions.
It is. It's going to be amazingly fun.
Can't wait.
It's going to be great. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Ovechkin and the criticism he's taken. And I just don't understand why he's taking criticism, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Blackhawks and how they got a new general manager and what direction are they going to go? Are they going to trade Kane or Taze or what's going to happen in Chicago? And then we'll go around the league, talk about, Cooper getting ejected, the Jets. Teams are looking for goalies. Teams moving up and down, i.e. the Minnesota Wild and the LA Kings. And we'll talk about Elias Lindholm. Who is setting the scoring charts on fire in the National Hockey League. All right, Blake, let's talk about this a little bit. Is this week, Alexander Ovechkin kind of came under the freaking magnifying glass, and it surprised me, to be honest with you. I didn't see this coming. As, you know, the heat intensifies as Russian advances even more and more in the invasion of the Ukraine, and unfortunately that's what we're dealing with in the world now. So at least it stopped COVID, I guess, is there's a bright thing. But it's crazy that in 2022 we're talking about war. But we are.
Yeah.
But it is surprisingly, you know, you wouldn't think it would affect hockey, but it does, because hockey is probably one of the most international pro sports that there really is. With players from numerous different countries. But Russian players are in a real difficult situation, as the Russian government has come out and said that if people are talking negatively, if Russians are talking negatively about the attack on Ukraine, it's classified as fake news, and they can be punished up to 15 years in prison. I don't understand this, but I guess this is what you get in a communist country, right? I guess we're kind of dealing with that in the U.S. and Canada in a much lower level scale, but we are. But this is scary. It's put some of the Russian players in difficult situations in the league. Were you surprised that now there's reports of fans and people targeting Russian players in a negative way?
Yeah, well, we kind of talked about this, what was it, last week?
I slightly touched on it, but it's changed a lot since then.
When we talked about, like, Russians got to be careful what they say because they still got a lot of family back there. And, I mean, that affects what you can and can't say. Like, the reason why Ovechkin's under the microscope is because of how much he supported him in his election in 2017 and kind of supported him. And there's numerous articles and stuff on social media that shows Ovechkin like publicly supporting him. So, I mean, that's kind of why he's under the microscope. But
he's one of the best players in the league.
Like death threats and whatnot. Like, that's unfortunate. But, I mean, like Ovechkin said in his press conference, it's just a tough situation to be in. Like, I don't think Ovechkin, like, there's no way he would have knew about what Putin's going to do. He just, like, supported his friend. But, like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I mean, do I like the fact that he supported Putin, or even if he still does? No. I mean, it's because it's different than my opinion. But it is his country, and it is his opinion. His choice. So yeah. I don't know that we should be able to, or we should, in right justice, crucify him. And now he's lost his CCM sponsorship. The Capitals pull a stupid one and say you can't have Ukraine flags in the arena. Like, why would they even meddle in
that? Ukraine and Russian flags.
But why say anything? Like, why stir the pot? Like, why bring up more shit? Like, I don't understand.
I don't think Ovechkin lost his CCM. They just are just not advertising him right now.
He's not getting paid. They've cut ties with him, it says.
Hmm. I didn't see that part.
So I don't know if that's right either. I mean, no, I don't agree with his stance. I don't agree with him supporting him, but it is his prerogative though, right? Because we're allowed to have an opinion. And that's one of the things I feel like in this country that is kind of being taken away from people. And, Alexander Ovechkin is one of the best players in the league, and that's one of the reasons why he's under the microscope, because he's probably he's the best Russian in the league. A lot of Russians have kept very silent about it. Some have been very vocal. Zadorov posted a post on his Facebook or Instagram or something that just said no war. Ovechkin kind of went the opposite way
Ovechkin said no war too.
Yeah, but he also posted his profile picture on Instagram as him standing next to Putin too. So, gosh, I don't know. I will defend him on this one though, as I just don't think it's right for us to attack him. I don't know why. I think it's partly because he's so damn good. I think people are you know, people in other markets aren't going to like Ovechkin because he's a rival or whatever. But I hope that we could be bigger than that as a society. There's tons of different things going on in the league with, they've stopped all sponsorship, any web traffic, to Russia. No Russians in international play as of now, according to the IIHF. The CHL bans teams from drafting Russian kids. And NHL 22 removes Russian teams, which I don't know what. I'm sure Putin is like heartbroken over that. I mean, I just don't understand how any of that really affects the situation, because the only ones that it's punishing are the Russian players. Not punishing their government. Their government doesn't care. It's crazy. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is because me and you have bantered back and forth a ton about him chasing Gretzky's record.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've joked back and forth as I've said it's for some reason it's not going to happen. And you said it was going to happen. And I hope to hell this isn't the reason it doesn't happen. But does this damper the chase?
I don't think so. I mean, he's fourth in NHL scoring with 34 goals. Like, he's still producing. Like,
he's two away from third place. He's just last night against the Kraken scored his 764th goal. Yeah. Jagr's at 766, Gordie Howe's at 801, and Gretzky's at 894.
Yeah.
I guess I always envisioned this in the future.
A record that would never be broken?
No, not even that. I've always envisioned this as this is going to be the the Sosa McGuire chasing Mantle, or not Mantle, Maris, in home runs in baseball.
How? There's nobody chasing Gretzky with him. How can that be the same?
I said it's the same. It's a guy chasing a record.
Oh yeah, but like you said, McGuire and Sosa, like
well, they just happen to be two of them chasing one guy.
Yeah,
it's just dumb luck that there was two of them at the same time.
Yeah.
And I look.
Have you ever seen that documentary?
Yeah,
it's a really good.
I watched a lot of it because I was a Roger Maris fan because he's from Fargo, North Dakota.
Yeah.
Now.
Did not know.
What?
Did not know that.
Yeah, Roger Maris is from Fargo. He's buried in Fargo. You obviously didn't watch the documentary because they talked about it a ton in there.
That he's from Fargo?
Yes. Watch the movie 61.
Is it on Netflix?
I don't know. It's a great movie. It's about Sosa and McGuire chasing. The movie is about Roger Maris getting the record. And then there's at the end they talk about the documentary talks about like those two chasing Maris. But anyways, I look at what that did to baseball. And when those two were chasing him, baseball was very relevant.
Yeah.
And very, very big. I mean, ESPN was cutting into games when they would come up to bat. And I was wondering and envisioning here in a few years when Ovechkin came close, was this going to be a mammoth spike for the National Hockey League?
Good.
And I looked at that and I thought I would love that. I'm not a person that doesn't want people to break records. And honestly,
records are made to be broken.
My time that I've been around Ovechkin, my first experience with Ovechkin was watching him in the World Juniors in Grand Forks. And, when Crosby beat him and I thought Ovechkin was a little baby. Ovechkin was 18. My experience of watching him in Washington is that he's always been a class act. He's a hard-nosed player. The guy can do everything he hits. He was a shitty defensively, and he's changed his game, and I respect the hell out of him for that because he's a lot better player, and I respect him. He's got probably the most prolific shot in the league's history. And do I think he was going to break it? I always said no, and I meant that. Do I think he is now? I don't know, man. But I hope when I said I didn't think he was going to break it, and me and you go back and forth on our banter, it wasn't because I wanted this to be part of it.
Yeah.
And the fact that where do we go with Russians in the league is Hasek screaming again on social media about how the NHL hasn't kicked the Russians out of the league. I don't know. Does something like that, as crazy as it sounds, ever happen?
No, I can't. I can't see that happen. I mean,
well, what if it escalates more to where, I mean, we're involved and Canada's involved and the States and everybody, and I don't know. I mean, I just don't know where this ends up. I'd like to think that it would be over in a couple of weeks, but unfortunately, I don't see that happening.
I try to stay out of the politics, so it's just like,
well, war is not politics, dude.
No, I mean, like all that stuff. It's just like
it's news.
I know.
But war is not politics. War is news. And it's affecting every one of us.
And well, I mean, gas prices went
up
to 180. It's like,
that's because Canada and the U.S. are stupid. Because we both have enough fuel to supply ourselves, and we're too ignorant to do it. And that's because of our leadership. But that's a whole other. Now, that's politics. The fact of the matter is, if this escalates more and all of a sudden something does happen and Ovechkin doesn't get the chance to chase this, it hurts this league. It hurts Ovechkin. It hurts even Gretzky. I don't think he would want to, you know, retain his record in that way. It's a crazy situation.
I got a question though. Like, who is like who do you think is a player that like is newer in the league that could chase for that record when it's all said and done? I think it's Matthews.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
If Matthews continues on this pace, 40, 45, 50 goal every year, and he's been in the league for 4 or 5 years. Well, it's all said and done. Say he plays 20 years, he's going to be up there.
Let's put it down here, though. Here's the first thing you got to look at. Gretzky played 1,487 games. Jágr played 1,700 games. Gordie Howe played 1,700 games. That in itself is amazing. Yeah. And I just don't know that in today's day and age how many guys are going to be that sustainable that long.
Yeah.
That's probably more of the question. Do I think Matthews
That makes it Ovechkin even more impressive. Because he's what, like 34, 35, and he's still blowing pucks past goalies?
Yeah. He's played 1,200. Scoring
35 goals already? Like, he has 34 goals in 55 games. He's on pace for probably 50 goals again.
Yeah. I mean, he's never going to.
He hasn't scored 50 in like 5 years.
No one's catching the points. No one's catching Gretzky's points.
No, I mean, fuck. You can take away his assists. He's still the all-time leader in points.
Yeah.
You can take away all of his goals.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
He's still the all-time leader in points.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm really curious to see how this plays out. I don't know. I just looked at this as such a huge positive for the league here, and it's going to be a while still. He's 100 goals away, but I mean, like in 3 years, I thought it was just going to be dynamic watching that. And, I hope that this situation doesn't rob NHL fans or Alexander Ovechkin from that chase. Let's talk about another crazy situation in the league, and that's the Chicago Blackhawks. And we're not talking about their turmoil or their problems because we've already talked about that. But let's talk about the hiring of Kyle Davidson as their permanent general manager. I love how they put permanent general manager. What the hell does that mean? He's not getting fired ever, or what does that mean?
Well, no, because he was interim.
I know, but you know what I'm saying. It's like,
well, so much for that search they did. It's kind of the same thing that Vancouver did. I mean, I think that Patrick Alvin in Vancouver was the candidate all along, and they went through all his process, and they ended up hiring Rutherford's guy. It's just like,
I think just all they have to do now, all these teams have to do now, is buy time to get all their background checks in order. I mean, you can't hire anybody anymore. I mean, it's got to be background after background after background check because
with what happened in Chicago, 2010, like they had to take their time a little bit.
I don't know. He's in 3 days in office and he's changing all kinds of different personnel and stuff. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think that's probably a good thing in Chicago. But where it becomes interesting is where do the changes stop? And let's talk about player personnel. Marc-Andre Fleury informed the Chicago Blackhawks that he did not want to be dealt at the trade deadline. I guess that's what's been reported out of Chicago. They said they had a gentleman's agreement when he was traded from Vegas to Chicago that he would he'd be there, and the Blackhawks organization said that they intend to honor that agreement despite a change in management since that agreement. I don't know that Marc-Andre Fleury is going anywhere unless he has a change of heart.
That's all up to Fleury if he wants to chase a cop again.
Exactly.
If he wants to chase a cop again, he'll probably get moved.
Probably. Yeah. But Jonathan Toews came out this week and said, "In my heart, I feel like I haven't played my best hockey in my career. I'm just fighting for my health and to find a way for my body to cooperate and get back to the level I know I can play at. Trying to push that sort of thing is a little bit longer." Is this something where Jonathan Toews physically can't do it anymore and ends up on long-term IR and plays it out from there? I don't know.
I hope not, because he's one of my favorite players to watch in the league.
Me too. Me too.
But, I mean, you hear reports that Colorado sniff around Patrick Kane.
That was my next thing on my list. Do you think something like that could happen?
I mean, Colorado wouldn't be asking if they couldn't fit him in somehow.
Well, there would have to be some serious cap retention.
Not, or just salary involved going the other way. Like maybe like Eric Johnson, $6 million goes the other way.
Yeah, why would Chicago take that, though?
Well, you take Eric Johnson, you get more picks and prospects.
Or how about you just say I retain half of it and here you go, and now I get the picks and prospects and I don't have to deal with Eric Johnson.
How many years are on that, though? Like,
I mean, I'm not taking Eric Johnson.
It doesn't make sense for them. Let me see. Hold on. Teams.
I just, why would you, when you can just retain and not have that turd sitting in here?
Fuck. They only got this year and next year. So yeah, they could retain half.
You know? I don't know.
It's crazy to me. It's crazy to me that Patrick Cade's 33 years old.
I know. Like he's not. He still scores. He still scores.
Yeah. I thought he had like 4 years left.
Colorado's been poking around on JT Miller too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and they threw the name Bowen Byram out there. Like nobody's going to take Bowen Byram when he's contemplating retirement and has had 4 concussions in a year. Like if Bowen Byram was healthy, there's no way he'd be in trade talks.
No.
There's no way you would trade a defenseman like that. So it's just like, yeah, you can throw him out there all you want in trade rumors. Nobody's going to take Bowen Byram when he might never play hockey again, which would be terrible because he's 21 years old. Yeah. And he's a terrific player. Like that's some scary stuff. I mean, obviously you saw Crosby and stuff go through concussions and I mean, it takes its time to figure itself out. The brain's a kind of a tricky thing, right? So, I wouldn't trade Byram because I think if he does get over these concussions, he's going to step right in and be a top 4 guy for like right behind Devon Toews and McCarr. Like he's that good. So I don't know.
I'm going to bring up another topic about the Blackhawks, and this is a topic that I kind of hate, but it would aggravate the shit out of me, but it's still relevant. With everything in the negativeness in Chicago and the backlash from their fan base and the backlash from the hockey world, I guess, is now the time to just swallow your pride, change the name from Blackhawks to Hawks, tweak the logo just to be feathers, clean house and get rid of Toews and Kane and everything that reminds you of 2010 and hit a reset button and be the most public team in hockey and just really be transparent as can be and try to build this from youth up and start fresh.
Yeah, I don't
know. I can't even believe I'm saying that, but
that's going to be a big topic in with this new GM, right? I mean, he has to make a decision. Do you just sell everything and kind of rebuild here? Or like, I don't think this core has another run in them.
No.
Like the fact but that how they much, gave Seth Jones half mil, it's,
But it's done though, Blake. You can't do anything about that now. But the ownership,
I know that.
But with the way ownership is, are they even going to allow their GM to even make decisions? You know what I mean? Like you know how that is. Yeah. Like, are they even going to allow it? I mean,
if you do decide to trade Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, you'll get a lot for them, and that'll really kickstart your rebuild. And then you got some young picks.
How much? Hey, you're going to get a lot.
To Brinkett to build around.
You're getting a lot.
Seth Jones is at an age where by the time you're done your rebuild, he'll be still a good defenseman. It's just like, I don't know. If you want to go full rebuild, you trade Kane for sure.
Well, yeah, but you're going to get a return there. How much of a return are you getting for Jonathan Toews?
We'll see. I don't know. Like, it depends. It depends. What he has left, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
But you'll get a shit ton for Kane.
Absolutely, you get a ton.
Like, I'm like 2 first-round picks and top prospects.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens.
You got him this year and next year.
Yeah.
Obviously, you'll have some cap gymnastics to go around with that because he's making $10.5 million bucks. But
yeah, more gymnastics than most teams can do.
Yeah.
Especially the teams that could really use him right now.
Yeah.
All right, Guts, go around the league with a bunch of different topics that had me thinking hockey this week. John Cooper ejected from the game the other night. Can you tell me when the last time an NHL coach was tossed?
I actually looked it up. It was John Cooper.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Rick Bowness?
Nope. San Jose Sharks, Pete DeBoer in November of 2018.
No, I swear Cooper got ejected last year.
I did research on it today.
Are you sure?
Yep.
And yeah, Wes, I have to fact check you on that.
And Wes McCauley was the ref that tossed him too. And they were talking about it on NHL radio the other day too. So interesting. But the Cooper got tossed in the second period. There was a little skirmish that broke out between Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay in the second period. And Cooper just didn't let up, man. He just kept going and talking and talking and talking and talking. And,
yeah, it is 2018.
He gets the toss. And, I don't know. And the reason I brought this up is I wanted to know, why do you think it's not as common in pro hockey as you see it in junior
hockey?
Well,
because the refs just give it right back to the coaches.
True.
If a coach tells the ref to F off, he'll tell them to F off right back. Like, you see the refs mic'd up. They tell the players to F off, and like, they don't care. You don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So Cooper must have said something serious to, like, for him to get booted.
They said something about it, and I don't know. I was just listening to another talk radio on the NHL network, and they said that he said something about Pittsburgh being America's team and everything goes their way because they're America's team. And they were also saying too that Cooper wanted to maybe push the envelope, because if these two teams meet in the playoffs again, sometimes referees linger that, hey, I got to give this guy a little longer leash, or this team a little longer leash. He went to bat for his team. And I don't know. We'll see what happens with that, but kind of interesting. Are the Winnipeg Jets dead? Blake, are they dead? They're 7 points out of a wild card spot.
Sad. It really is.
They lost to Dallas, and then they had four straight losses prior to that with Colorado, Dallas, Calgary, Edmonton.
Did they not just lose again today?
Oh, did they? I didn't think they played today. I did not think they played today.
Yeah.
I don't think they played. They didn't play today. Connor.
Yeah, they lost to the Rangers 4-1.
Okay, well, add another one to the list, and that pretty much finalizes a nail, and it's not a nail in the coffin now.
I wouldn't say finalizes a nail, but it's like if Vancouver keeps winning, it's going to make it a lot tougher.
Hellebuck has been not good. Scheifele has fallen out of grace in Winnipeg. They're a bright spot, though. Ehlers is back after 19-game injury absence, and I don't know. If you're Winnipeg right now, and you determine the point where you're past gone, which I think is right now.
Well, I think they trade Andrew Kopp at the deadline.
Or do you try to – okay, I thought that too, Blake. Or do you try to re-sign him and trade a Scheifele? Kind of pull the backdoor one, because Kopp's going to be a little less money, and I think you're going to get more out of Kopp long term.
Oh, hell no. You think Kopp's going to produce more than Scheifele?
No. I'm not saying more points, but I think for the price tag, production per dollar.
Because Tampa gave up a first for Gaudreau?
No, I'm just saying Andrew Kopp's a good player. That you're going to be able to get at a much better price tag than Scheifele, and Scheifele's going to bring you a much better return than Andrew Kopp is going to bring you.
I would still trade Kopp, because I don't think they're going to be able to re-sign him unless you trade player with term.
And Kopp might not. Kopp might just say, "I'm not signing a Winnipeg." So,
let me just
so whatever,
their,
right?
Let me look at their cap situation here. So they have to re-sign Pierre-Luc Dubois. He's an RFA. Paul Stastny, Andrew Kopp, Vasilainen. Let's see. Beliu and Eric Comrie. So they need a backup goalie. And they have 11.7 mil in cap. And Dubois, like, maybe they trade Dubois.
No.
You don't think so?
No. He's just finally coming on.
Yeah, but like,
No, you don't trade him.
Okay, he's coming on. He takes seven of your $11 million of cap?
Yeah, that's why you can't get rid of him. You gave up too much to get him.
Well, not really. I mean, Patrick Laine is not going to re-sign there anyway.
Still, I don't know. I don't know. I don't see that happening.
I don't think Kopp's going to re-sign because he's going to get more than what he's making, 3.75.
Yeah.
So I think you trade him. I think you trade Paul Stastny to a contender at the deadline that will take him. You maybe try and move, trying to think here. That's it. That's really it.
Did you see the Jets game this week? They are the first team in NHL history to blow a 4-goal lead, yet still end up winning the game by 4+ goals. They're also the first team ever to score 4 straight goals, allow 4 straight goals, and score 4 straight more.
Who is that against?
Oh, Arizona?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I'm guessing on that, but I think it was Arizona. Is that not unreal?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy. Goalies for sale. There's no goalies for sale. It seems like it was a year or two, me and you talked on this show about the abundance of number one goalies that
couldn't... Oh, yeah, that was free agency.
...that couldn't find homes. I mean, there just wasn't homes for. Now you have teams like Vegas, Edmonton, Toronto, Boston, Washington, all hinting that they need goalie upgrades.
Boston will be fine.
I think Boston will be fine, too. But there was still talk about it, though. There was talk about it.
Yeah.
And... there's no goalies out there that are going to fill these voids. There's no better upgrades in my mind.
It's a bunch of lateral moves. Like somebody could bring in a James Reimer or that would be a lateral move.
They're all lateral. I looked at every one of them. I mean,
the only one that's not lateral is Fleury.
Yeah. Yep. And so, who knows what happens there. Korpisalo, I thought maybe wouldn't be.
Yeah, maybe.
He wouldn't be lateral for Edmonton. He'd be an upgrade.
He hasn't been very good this year.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It still might even be lateral. I don't know. Yeah. But there's no one really available at deadlines, and I don't know. Do you think any of these teams pull a trigger and get a goalie?
Well, I mean, Leaf fans are just disheveled right now at Campbell. I mean, you go on Twitter, he's the number one trend in Twitter right now. They running him right out the door just like they ran old Anderson out the door.
They run everybody out the door. They're just ruthless. They're just ruthless.
It's funny how that works. So it's like you let Anderson go, and yeah, he had his injury problems, and yeah, he kind of struggled in the playoffs, but I mean, like, look what he's doing in Carolina right now. He is the best save percentage in the NHL. Uh-huh. Shocker to none, not me.
I thought the Leafs made a huge mistake there. We both did.
And Campbell was great. He had an all-star first half, but like after the all-star break, this guy is just falling right off the table here. It's like, what is going on?
It is. It's crazy. But
let's just go game by game here for old Campbell. He allowed 5 goals against Vancouver, 5 goals against Detroit, 4 against Columbus, 5 against St. Louis, 5 against Calgary, 3-3-5-5-3-5.
Okay. Okay. But I'm gonna throw something at you though. Some of that gets pinned on the team.
Oh, 100% it does.
You don't have goalies letting in. I mean, his save percentage would have to be at frickin' 0.75 for it to be his fault completely. Like, his team is not helping him. They think in Toronto that they do, but they don't. You want to see a team help their goalie. You go look at frickin' Calgary.
They miss badly.
But their forwards don't help going back. This team is not playing as a team.
No.
Teams don't allow 5-5-5-6-5-4-3-2-5. That's not a team.
Yeah.
That's not a team working together in a system.
No.
It's not.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do at the deadline. Do they go and get a defenseman with all that cap space? Do they go trade for a forward? Which if they trade for a forward, I think that'd be a huge mistake. Yeah. They have to go get a D.
Yeah, them and Edmonton.
You have to go get like a Chychrun or a Klingberg or something.
Yeah, they got to do something on the back end.
And then you gotta find a goalie next year. Where? Marlo might not be the guy.
Where are you gonna find one? You're not. You're not finding one.
Might have to overpay for Fleury. I don't know.
Los Angeles Kings on the move, man. They're up to second place in the Pacific, 69 points, 8-2-0 in their last 10. This team's been good.
Yeah, the only really good
thing, listen to this though. I looked at their wins, their recent wins. Mm-hmm. They came against Buffalo, Columbus, the Islanders, Anaheim, Arizona, and Vegas.
Yeah. And they're getting a lot of like,
fairly easy schedule.
They're overachieving, like, their depth, guys.
It's crazy.
Like,
I wonder if this team can hold on to this.
Like, Victor Arvidsson has 38 points in 50 games. Kempe has 36. Like, Danault has 16 goals. Last year he had three.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Moore has been really good. That Arvidsson, Moore, and Danault line. Like, statistically, I looked at stats, it might be the best line in the NHL.
Oh, God, give me a break. Calgary's first line is...
In terms of chances allowed, I don't think they've been on the ice for an even strength goal allowed all year.
No
way. Which is crazy.
There's no way all year. That's
pretty... No, I'm serious.
You better fact check yourself on that one, Blake.
I'm serious.
You better fact check yourself. The Minnesota Wild, though, what's going on with them? They're falling to third in the Central, 67 points, 3-7-0 in their last 10. They lost to Buffalo, Calgary, Toronto, Ottawa, Florida, and Winnipeg.
Well, losing to some good teams.
What? Calgary and Calgary, yes, I'll give you that. Florida, yes, but
Toronto,
they lost.
Well, Toronto. What do you mean?
Ottawa, Winnipeg, Buffalo. I don't know. Yeah. This team I like. I like Minnesota. I've said it all year. I like this team. I don't know. And I know every team goes through stretches. Every team in the league has went through stretches of losses. They have. Maybe not Colorado, but every team has. I don't know.
Colorado is 23-3-3 at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of their losses was last night.
Yeah.
Speaking of last night, are people in this league starting to wake up to Elias Lindholm?
No, not really.
Why?
Nah, he's been a good player. What do you mean? Like, did he not do this last year?
No, not at this level.
I mean, he's 17th in the league in scoring. Like,
he's got 57 points in 54 games.
He's 27 goals, 30 assists. Yeah, he's a first-line player. He's a good player.
Plus 42, which is second in the NHL. The guy can do it all. He single-handedly freaking created that overtime winner last night.
Okay, well, Brad, last year he had 47-56, so don't act like surprised that he's doing this. Like, he had 78-81, 54-70. 47-56.
Yeah, but how come nobody recognizes Elias Lindholm around this league?
What do you mean nobody recognizes?
They don't. He gets no publicity.
It's not like he's one of the most underrated players in the NHL.
Oh, he's
know who he is.
He should be the Selke winner for sure this year. But he won't be.
I'd have to look at the metrics defensively and stuff, but
I can tell you right now who will win the Selke this year. I can tell you right now.
Who?
Patrice Bergeron. Because he's won it before, and he gets it every fucking year.
Well, it was the same thing with Datsyuk.
I know. It's not right. But I don't think that Lindholm's getting any recognition in this league at all. If this guy was playing in Toronto, we'd have his name slammed down our throats so bad that we wouldn't even... Right?
Yeah.
You know how the Toronto market is.
I'm just saying that he's been a good player for the last 3 years, so I'm not really surprised. What are you doing?
Well, he's a hell of a value too. At the price tag they got him at,
yeah,
he is a hell.
What is he getting?
Four and a half. He's a hell of a value. Are you ready for three questions?
I guess.
It's time for three questions.
Blake's so enthused.
Can't wait to hear these questions.
You know, Blake's so enthused, he's pouting now.
Can't wait to hear these questions.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
Question number one. Before we'll preface this, all is about your favorite team. Everybody knows Blake's favorite team.
I knew it.
Is the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, donkey.
Question number one. What are three words that best describes the Vancouver Canucks?
Resilience. Lately, compete.
He's got to preface his words. Lately, like in the last 10 games.
And inconsistent, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say inconsistent. My words for the Canucks would be inconsistent, alive, tighten up on the back end, and you're going to be good.
it's easier said than done, though, Brad.
I know. But I told you this Canucks team 6 weeks ago, I said they're not gone. And you said they're gone. I said, no, they're not gone.
I didn't say but it was borderline.
Yeah, they were gone. They were gone in your mind. All right, question number two. What is something about your favorite team that annoys you?
Tyler Myers.
Okay, that's good. I agree.
The chaos draft himself.
Yeah.
God, he just like, he plays, sometimes he plays so good. It's like, oh my, this guy's doing good. And there's other times it's like, what is this guy doing?
Oh man, he's at a couple moments where I just start laughing, but.
Yeah, I have to go with Tyler Myers. Or Patterson. Or when Patterson just doesn't shoot the puck on the power play as one timer side.
Yeah.
That actually drives me insane.
Question number three. What are your expectations for the remainder of this year? And more importantly, what are your expectations for this team next year?
I can't even answer that question because I have no idea what Rutherford and Alvin are going to do. Nobody does. Are they going to trade Besser? Are they going to trade Miller? Are they going to trade like Horvat or something? I don't know. It's just like the thing is they went on this road trip, right? They picked up a win in New York. They picked up a win, two wins in New York. They got blown out by New Jersey 7-2, and they respond by beating the Leafs on the road. They were 3-1 on that trip. Now they go home for 7 straight home games. So like Bruce Boudreau said, when the sun is shining, well, you got to make hay when the sun's shining. And 7 straight home games, that it's your time.
Yeah,
we're gonna see what team the Canucks are over these next 7 games because they're at home. There's no excuses for bad starts. There's no excuses for being on the road and stuff like that. So, I mean, you take a look at their schedule. They got Montreal on Wednesday, should be a winnable game, right? Washington on Friday. And then you got Tampa on Sunday. Another winnable game against New Jersey. You got a winnable game against Detroit. And then you got Calgary. Then you got a winnable game against Buffalo. And then you go to Colorado, Minnesota, Dallas, St. Louis. So, like, it's going to be an interesting stretch. I don't know.
When do you?
But, like, it's actually insane, though. How Bruce Boudreau is 20 wins, 8 losses, 5 overtime losses with the same roster that Travis Green had. What does that say about the players that just didn't want to play for him anymore?
Is that not bad though, Blake? Does that not piss you off?
It's bad, but it's just like, it's interesting how he has the exact same roster. He's 8 and he's had so much more success.
I know, but how long before those same guys say, well, I'm tired of playing for Go Bruce and, I don't know. You know what I'm saying, though? Pisses me off when teams do that. And don't worry, my team's done that 100 times, too. But it's just like, God, Michael, come on.
Well,
like,
it's hard to quit on Sutter, though. But
well, he won't let you. He'll fucking kill you.
He'll still just fucking kick you off.
Isn't that something?
You don't want to play for me? All right, we'll get somebody else in here.
That's crazy. All right, listener question. We got a special one this week, Blake. This is cool. This is some cool shit here. I shouldn't say that word. You know why? Because Brody McEwen, an 8-year-old kid from St. Cloud, Minnesota, sent us a question.
What?
Yeah. So I feel bad now.
Stop swearing.
Yeah, it's you. All right? But thanks for listening, Brody. I know you said in your email that your dad and you listened to the show. And that's pretty cool. And I got some info. When I'm going to send you some hockey cards for listening to the show for us. But I love your question. And it's a cool question. Question is, where is your favorite location in a hockey arena to watch a game? And I have mine. I've tried watching games from all different areas of the, I've kind of been all around the arena. And obviously I don't like going to
Winnipeg. In Winnipeg, very top row. Nosebleeds in Winnipeg. Cause it's so small and it's not even that high up.
No, I know, but you know, I
upper
think,
deck, Winnipeg. In Calgary, boy.
Not upper deck. I'm just talking in a normal Calgary, arena.
Calgary, middle deck, first row. You see the Jumbotron. You can see the whole ice.
I still think, I love 15 rows up behind the penalty box because you're looking at the benches then. I know it's prime time dollars and it's good, but then I got a lot of buddies.
I don't mind sitting lower bowl in the corner. Like about.
I got a lot of buddies that love that lower bowl corner. I went to, when I was in,
lower bowl corner. Where your favorite team attacks twice.
Yep. I was at the Nassau.
Like my last NHL game I went to, I sat, what was it, 7 rows up from Price. It was pretty cool.
You done? Are you, can I get a sentence in
here? Sorry. Cut you off there.
I watched the Penguins and Islanders play about 15 rows up in the corner. That was pretty cool at the Nassau. I don't know. I did watch a game once. I was the first row in Vancouver behind the bench. I don't like
it. That would suck.
It's awful. You can't see.
No.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks.
You're watching the game from off Jumbotron.
Pretty much you're watching the game from the Jumbotron. So, I don't know. Brody, go to a game. See if your dad can unload the wallet and get you about 14 rows up behind the penalty box so you can watch the players in the bench. And you know what? Enjoy the hell out of it because you're getting screwed over as a kid. It used to be affordable to be able to go to games, and now it's not even really affordable, so it's really tough. So when you get the chance to go, like, get good seats and really have a good time with it. But, yeah, thanks for the question. All right, Blake, we're back next week on a regular Monday night show, which is a good thing because we're creatures of habit, right? We like to do this on Monday night. And next week, we're previewing the NHL trade deadline as it is getting closer and closer every single week. Check us out on our YouTube channel at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. Get on over to Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe to the Debate Hockey Podcast. Check us out on debatehockey.com. Enjoy this week's hockey action. And, yeah, join us next week for another hour of Hockey Talk. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars_Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.